Get your Bibles out. We'll have a look at some scriptures. I try not to go on too long tonight after last night. It was quite a long night last night. And it's been a long, fun camp. It's gone quick, though. And lots of drama, excitement, stupidity last night, which was hilarious. So much fun. Really funny. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Just want to go through one parable tonight. According to our theme, it's about witnessing and, I guess, the repentance of sinners. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus said here in verse 3, "And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." So the Lord's making a bit of a point here about sinners and repentance and people coming before the Lord. And I just want to go through this. Obviously, this is, you know, this is the Lord here. He's, you know, like God is rescuing somebody here. Jesus is trying to make a bit of a point here. And I'll just go through it bit by bit. And he says, what man of you? And he throws it back on them. Okay. He says, how would you be? Picture yourself. Okay. Put yourself in this scenario. Okay. This is personal. This is serious. This is getting real. Okay. Listen to what I'm saying is what the Lord is saying here. Okay. And as we read, it's in terms of that agricultural imagery that they all would have understood in that day and age. And even applies to us now. Okay, agriculture, it equals food, it equals income, it equals lifestyle. Okay, so this was important stuff. It wasn't just pie in the sky sort of stuff. These people could understand it. It was very direct to them, you know, in that day and age. For us, it's a little bit more, we're a little bit more removed from that sort of food production. But although down here, we do actually see it, a lot of it. And he says, what man of you having 100 sheep? So a little fellowship here, if you like, or a collection of souls of some type. And we know that even sociologists tell us there's kind of ultimate numbers for how many people you can know and you can interact with and you can be friends with. There's some numbers about 150, some 100. They've also, you know, studied, you know, tribes of, you know, 80s are effective, 100. So there are varying numbers, but, you know, humans, it's interesting. The Lord chooses this number, not that it's anything special, but in that sense, you could look at it and go, well, it's a little bit of a fellowship, like our fellowship, 100-odd people maybe here tonight, maybe 100-odd people in Perth or whatever, you know, other places like Adelaide, bigger. You know, Papua New Guinea, even bigger. But even on the down at the ground level, maybe a village of 50 people, okay? 100 sheep, okay? And just remember here, they're sheep, okay? When we think of sheep, we're not thinking of animals that are too intelligent necessarily, okay? The Lord is not interested in intellect. He's not interested in status. You know, you think lion, you know, power, status, authority, king of the jungle, sheep. That's us. That's the souls that we're looking for. That's what he's saying. Not interested in the power, authority, status of the world. It's the sheep that the Lord's looking for. He's not looking for the other species, the goats. You know, the ones that are just butt. You know, just arguments. He's looking for the sheep. And he says if he lose one of them, now you kind of think, how did he lose this sheep? How did God lose a sheep? Well, in one sense, he gave us free will, didn't he? He gave the sheep free will. You know, look at Adam, you know, and Eve. You could say, oh, the dumbest sheep in the Bible. You know, they wrecked it for everybody sort of thing. No, just joking there. But he gave souls a free choice. And through that free choice, as us humans, we can lose ourselves. And we can lose ourselves in lots and lots and lots of different ways. Even in the fellowship, we see it. We can be lost, you know, to the fellowship, so to speak. You can look at it from that point of view also. This parable has a lot of angles you can look at it. You know, take which one you understand best, if you like. One of them is lost in different ways. For us, we've got to, you know, take care that we don't become a lost sheep in some way. And as I said before, COVID, you know, yeah, you can stand back and go, oh, the world this and look at the way the world handled it. But closer to home, it's a challenge. It has been and it will be a challenge for the fellowship. you know, when fellowship gets restricted, that's serious stuff. It comes back to you, doesn't it? It falls back to you, not to Pastor Kevin, Pastor Michael. You've got to do the praying. You've got to front up to the fellowship in some way. Okay, and we heard that through those testimonies. Really important stuff. But the point here, you know, people get lost in lots of different ways. You know, and the Bible tells us to go out into the highways and byways. And when you go out into the highways and byways, or you talk to people, or you bring them in, it's not always pretty. You know, you can get everything from an arrogant, you know, rich guy coming in, not a lot, to a, you know, smelly street sort of, you know, person. You know, druggies and all that sort of stuff. You think, you know, I don't want to go there sort of thing. I don't want to. And the Lord's saying, no, don't worry about why, the where's, why, wherefore's, the why's, all that sort of stuff. They're lost. It doesn't matter. We were there once, weren't we? We were lost once, and the Lord found us, praise the Lord. And it says he does not, in verse, it's still in verse 4, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness. So you presume here that this guy, the Lord or you, or this church leader, but it doesn't matter, this witness or this saint is leaving this, and it says it's leaving them in the wilderness. And you think, the wilderness is dangerous. This is where sheep get lost. But presumably, like we see here tonight, like we see in our fellowship here and overseas and interstate, there is a good, strong hedge of protection around the 99 that have been left behind in the wilderness, holding out. There's a fort there. There's a little, you know, oasis. There's a little fortress of spiritual, you know, spirituality and God's word, and the banners fly high. And they're not taken down. They're not overcome. And this guy can do this with confidence because there are saints there who are faithful. They're manning the walls faithfully. They're doing the work faithfully every day in the church. They're not slinking on their responsibilities. I'll just leave it up to somebody else, or we'll slack off, or the boss is gone. Maybe this guy is the boss. Maybe he's the farm owner. And he's going, and he's saying to the other guys, and we've heard those parables, the Lord said, okay, I want you to take care of business while I'm away. I'm going to look for the 99. And so once again, it's encouragement to us and a reminder to us. You know, we might be sitting in the wilderness, so to speak, looking for, you know, the return of the Lord, but we've got to be about our Father's business whilst this witnessing or whilst this search for the soul goes on. So it's important for us. It's not all about just the witnessing side of thing. It's also about maintaining the fellowship, maintaining the other 99 in the wilderness until the Lord comes back, okay? And he goes after that which is lost until he find it. So he goes out into the wilderness, and you've got to also presume here that this guy knows who he's on about, what he's on about, knows what he stands for, knows how to look after himself, has enough income or has enough food to survive in the wilderness, spiritually speaking. He's got to go out into the world. He's got to interact with the world. And there are lots and lots of different types of wildernesses in this world, isn't there? You know, there could be wildernesses where people are unsaved on the Tibetan steppes. You know, it's just nothing but tundra and cold and a couple of yaks and, you know, people in big sort of furry hats. Or it could be a wilderness of our jungle, you know, mega cities where, you know, people are lost and they're segmented into little apartment blocks, and there's crime and there's, you know, drugs and there's, you know, social media and millions of dollars flying around at the same time. That's a wilderness. It's a wilderness of God's word. There are lots of different wildernesses that this person could be interacting with, this saint, this person, this servant of the Lord. And it could apply to you. You could find yourself in different parts of the wilderness, and saints do travel a lot. We hear lots of interesting stories and lots of interesting, you know, testimonies of, you know, and exciting ones. And we, you know, Brother Ben was saying the other night about, you know, adventure, and that's where this guy's going. He's going on a really, really important mission, an adventure to save this one soul because he valued it. He valued it above all else. He left the others faithfully behind in good care. On his own. You know, he could have taken somebody with him, that's great, but he went on his own. He had the strength, the courage, the conviction, the initiative, spiritually speaking. So he knew what he was about. He knew his scriptures. You know, he probably prayed a lot. He was strong. He was a good farmer. Okay? And he has to go and search. He's got to search and search. Doesn't tell us how long. The search could be long, could be days. You know, there could be droughts where he's like, you know, thinking, well, you know, I've searched and I just can't find this sheep. And people could, he could meet people along the way and say, who cares about the sheep? Come and join us. Come in for a drink. You know, come sort of get distracted. No, he stuck to his mission, looking for the one soul. He wasn't going to be distracted, was he? Wasn't going to be moved because he knew how important this one soul was. And it says, when he has found it. Now, it doesn't tell us where he's found it. It's in the wilderness somewhere. You know, the sheep could be hanging out with a bunch of goats, you know, fagging away, leather jackets, drinking. He finds the sheep somehow. But it says here that he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. So at some point, the sheep has realized, oh, you know, my master or a friend or an answer or a way out. It's whatever it may be. We all came in different ways. Some of us grew up in the Lord. Some of us, you know, even when growing up in the Lord, realized we, you know, had to, you know, seek the Lord. Others, you know, came from all sorts of backgrounds. And we realized, here's a friend. Here's somebody who's got the message. Here's somebody who's switched on. Not because anything special about themselves, but because they've got the answers from the scriptures. They've got the Holy Spirit. They've got the truth inside them. And it says there that obviously this, perhaps, you know, this sheep might have bucked a little bit, might have argued. But eventually, he says he lays it on his shoulders and he's happy about it. He's rejoicing. Finally, this part of the journey is over. I've found the soul. Just one soul. That's all that mattered to him. You know, and if it was just one soul, you know, one living soul is precious in God's sight. And that's what we're hunting for. He lays it on his shoulders. He takes the burden, doesn't he? He doesn't care. You know, that's part of it. It doesn't tell us that he rigged up his four-wheel drive, got the Hilux going, got the, you know, the cage in the back and all this sort of stuff and had all this gear. He didn't take any of that. He laid it on his shoulders. He's alone. Jesus Christ did that for us, and the Lord wants us to do that for each other, for the lost souls. And sometimes when, you know, new saints come to the Lord, you know, sometimes as an officer, sometimes people, oh, did you see what they're doing? Did you see what they're doing? Look at that, look at that, look at that. They're a lamb. They've been saved for 3 hours. They don't quite get it yet. Just be patient. Let the pastor sort it out. Let's not squash them. You're enthusiastic, awesome, great. You want to see them doing things righteously and morally and cleanly in the Lord, in the fellowship. But just be patient. Somebody was patient with you. Somebody grabbed you and put you on their shoulders and carried you until you were able to walk back into the pen. Okay, so, you know, we do have to be patient with one another. They're just lambs. And all the people said, amen. Amen. And let the oversight apart, or even yourself, you know, you can help as well. Just don't feel the need to, you know, it's got to be like this. Just be patient. Okay, we know our stand. We don't. There's things, certain things we don't compromise on. I'm not saying that, but be patient with people, teaching them, being gentle. And he's rejoicing. This guy's happy. Verse 6. And when he comes home, so this guy knows, second part of the journey, got to make it home. Okay, and that's also encouragement for us. Got to make it home. Got to know the way home. Got to see the beacon. Got to see where the farm is, the fortress, the banners, the lights on the hill. Got to know what it is and not be distracted, not be deceived by something else, by another gospel, another idea, another flashing bauble, or saying, look, I'm tired, I can't be bothered, you know, the sheep, just walk on your own, man. You know, I've had enough. You know, he's rejoicing, he's going all the way home with his sheep on his shoulders, and he's happy to do it. Yeah, it's a great attitude, isn't it? When he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbours, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which was lost. So it's interesting, he comes home, and what does he come home to? Okay, what does he come home to? We've got to ask ourselves that as well. When you're witnessing, you know, it's great, you know, getting the sword out. We heard what Pastor Mike was saying, you know, we're fighting, and, you know, it's awesome, you know, and gave him this scripture and gave him that, and he got baptised and all that. But what are you bringing them to? You're bringing them to a fellowship, aren't you? What do you want your fellowship to look like? I mean, firstly, what's the name on the door? What's the name on the door? What's the name on our door? Revival. Revival Fellowship. So if we're not doing this, are we the Revival Fellowship? Does the Lord go, not much revival, you know, not much attitude of revival here, I'll go somewhere else. The Lord's done that before. I know that's a bit sort of bleak, but that's the bottom line. Okay, but on top of that, and we spoke about this at the house meeting, I made a bit of a list. You know, what are we bringing them to? We're bringing them to a fellowship that is all spirit-filled. Praise the Lord. There's no compromise on that. All spirit-filled. We're also bringing them to a fellowship that's not perfect. Because none of us in the spirit, in the flesh, are perfect, are we? And sometimes when new people come to the Lord, you know, I had it myself, you know, you think, oh, this is fantastic. These people are all perfect. And then, you know, you see saints and their foibles and their little fleshly ways, and you think, oh, why do they do that? Why do they think that? Why did they say that? Why did they argue about that? Because they have to walk around in these clay bodies and they fail and they're flawed and, you know, they get tired and angry with one another and they step on each other's toes, and the church in that sense won't be perfect, which then relies on the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ and understanding that the Lord saved all of us, that, you know, he's the righteous one, we're the ones learning and understanding and meant to be merciful and compassionate and forgiving to one another. And all the people said, okay. Praise the Lord. What else? You know, we're not bringing him back to a club. That was another thing. It's not just a club. Do we just come and hang out a little bit? You know, a little bit of socialising. I put my time in. I'm looking good. Tick, Lord. See you later. It's not a club or a social gathering. It's actually a training ground. And when we spoke about this in the house meeting, we said, well, how would it be? You know, you get an AFL team. You know, a big bunch of guys, tough guys. They've been training for years, winning everything. And all of a sudden, little bit by little bit, you know what? We're pretty good. Don't have to go to training tonight. We'll skip training. Days go by, weeks go by. A couple of more guys. Skip training. Don't worry about it. Skip more training and more. Getting together, honing each other's skills, reminding each other who they are, what they are. How do you think when the next big group of guys come along, how do you think those guys will go? You know, the fellowship, it's a training ground, you know, to prepare us for the world, to be able to, you know, sharpen each other up, to strengthen one another so that we can go out there. And, you know, out in the world, we don't bat an eyelid when people say, you know, oh, yeah, we belong to this club, you come along here. Oh, yeah, okay, I'll do that. And off we go, you know, or a job or something else. There's lots of organisations that we all belong to. But let's not be of the attitude that when it comes to church, mate, you know, I don't do that. I don't do those meetings or that meeting, or I don't do hall cleaning. I don't have my own thing to do. It's not the attitude that we want. It's a training ground. Put your effort into it and the Lord will bless you, and all the people said. Just a couple of other things. In that sense, the church is also is disciplined. It's protected by doctrine, but it's also caring, loving, and supporting. That's what we see here, okay? His neighbours come out, his friends and family, presumably the rest of the fellowship, the farm or whatever, saying in verse 6 there, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep, which was lost. And everybody's coming out and go, yeah, this is fantastic. It's exciting when somebody gets saved. It's exciting when somebody starts to learn about the Lord and, you know, asking questions, and they ask you questions, and they ask the next guy questions, and, you know, and yeah, there might be a couple of dramas here and there because they don't understand something, but it's all part of the learning process and it's exciting. And then they start to witness, they start to look for the lost sheep, but it's exciting because these guys know that's what's going to happen. There's going to be growth and development and learning from this. Verse 7, he says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Okay. And the rejoicing makes it all the way up to heaven, all the way up there. And when you go out and witness, and when you go out and preach the gospel, and you bring the sheep home and you look after them, there's rejoicing all the way up to heaven. And all the people said, amen. We'll leave it there.